Welcome to the Just Race podcast. I'm your host, Joe Sweeney, and today we are diving into multiplayer. This episode is a masterclass in product-led growth, building virality and customer acquisition into a product. Our guest is Amir Ashkenazi, founder of Switchboard, a new collaboration tool. He just raised a $14 million seed round from Sequoia, Greylock, Dylan Field, the CEO and founder of Figma, and Joe Thomas, the CEO of Loom. So a group of people who understand multiplayer products. I hope you enjoy this episode on Switchboard. I'm a big fan of Marketer Hire. They're matching elite marketing professionals with ambitious startups and founders. Using advanced AI and thorough vetting, Marketer Hire will match your business with a top-tier marketer, and they'll do it fast. Get signed up today and find your marketing professional at marketerhire.com. Well, Amir, it is fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Switchboard, super interesting company. Can you introduce us and the audience to Switchboard with a one-liner, your elevator pitch on what the company does?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you, John. So happy to be here. So Switchboard is the next generation collaboration platform. It allows people to do things together as if they were sitting side by side. Most of what we currently call collaboration platform are really just communication tools. If you think about video conferencing, it allows us to see and hear each other. But when we actually want to do things together, the only thing we can do is share a screen or send a link. We decided to change that.
To zoom way out, what is the thesis behind Switchboard? How does it fit into the market right now? Where do you aim to take it?
We believe that the future of work is remote. And we are not just talking about full-time remote work. Everybody's going to work remote, whether it is hybrid and you're 2 days a week, or even you're full-time in the office and work with outside consultants or vendors. So the ability to get things done where you're not physically in the same place is extremely important. Now, the simple things that we used to be able to do when we were physically together, like work on something together or tap someone on the shoulder and ask a question or just focus on content and not faces, all of this is gone when we went remote. And Switchboard is bringing all of this back. So with Switchboard, you can basically collaborate on multiple web-based applications like Google Docs and Figma and Trello and Jira. Put them in a room that is persistent, that will stay with you after you leave the meeting, getting ready for the next one. And instead of toggling tabs and apps and sharing your screen, you have users on the same page, always working with the same applications. It makes it a lot more seamless to keep the team going and really on the same page.
So you took like multiplayer, which has been a big thing in web apps lately. So, you know, the kind of OG version of that is Google Docs, where multiple people can work on it. But now you have Figma, you have all of these other tools where multiple people can work in it, Notion. And you took that and kind of smashed it together with both video calls and then also wrapping in all essentially like a wrapper for any possible application you'd want to use.
Yeah, I think the tools became an obstacle instead of servicing us, we were servicing them. There's so many SaaS applications right now, but often you need multiple of them just for one project or one task. It's very often that for a sprint meeting, you will need Jira and Linear for tracking the bugs. You will need maybe Figma for the designs. You'll need Google Docs for the specs, but you really need them all together in the same meeting with the same teams. And until now, we did not have the tools to actually bring it all together.
And I think that probably explains the name Switchboard then.
Yeah, so name was really difficult. You know, we started with music lessons. Like, believe it or not, it all started with my frustration with guitar lessons going online. And for guitar lessons, you need multiple tools. So you need a metronome, you need the notes, you need multiple videos. And all of this disappeared when we went online and all I have is the face of the teacher. And what I imagined is place where we can bring it all back together again. We have also have the freedom to focus on different pieces of content like we do in the physical world. We don't stare at our coworkers all day long. It's not natural. So it used to be called Monarch, and we realized that the market is much larger than just guitar lessons, that this problem of doing things together is a global issue, and it's mainly issues per company. So we switched to a more commercial name, Switchboard, and it also brings the connotation of connecting people and applications together.
Did you start this company pre-pandemic, or was this kind of a born of the pandemic, needed to happen type of product?
May 2020, guitar lessons moving online. I get frustrated and I said, okay, there must be a better way. And I start working on this.
I think that's something we kind of take for granted now, because every new product that comes out, your whole team can work in the same page live. But that, as I understand it, is not super easy to put together. And especially the way you're wrapping, you know, everything from a Chrome tab to Jira to Slack and Notion all in a single like board online, and it's not laggy, seems technically difficult. Can you dive into some of the technology that you had to build to actually do this?
Sure. So from a technology perspective, what we build is a scalable, secure infrastructure of remote browsers. Along the way, we also had to solve some really difficult UX issues. How do you make multiple applications actually work well within one browser tab? And we pushed the concept of cloud browsers, I think, farther than anyone did before. We already received 5 patents for work in this area. And you'll be surprised, because you know, you're saying every application has a multiplayer. In fact, most applications do not yet have multiplayer functionality, and some of the tools that you need are just websites that do not have any kind of multiplayer functionality. The cool things with cloud browsing is that they allow us to turn any web-based application or site into a multiplayer immediately without any need for integration. The other thing that is really cool with cloud browsers is that they're permanent. They are not on my computer, they're not on your computer. So we can have rooms that keep exactly the same structure that is needed for the next meeting. It keeps the context, something that we're losing in video conferencing between meetings. So the technical work on this is exactly why it took us 2 years in stealth mode to come up with this product. We did not pivot, we did not change, we just stayed focused on that, solving the security issues that come up with a structure like this is significant, and we paid a lot of attention to it. So it's secure and encrypted from your browser to the cloud end-to-end. And if you're interested, there is an exciting document from our CTO just describing more about the security features in our platform.
Do you think that technical expertise, both the encryption end-to-end and the actual just building this so that you have a bunch of apps in a live cloud browser, like you said, you have 5 patents, so it seems like you have pushed it pretty far. Do you think that's a moat, or do you think there's something else that fundamentally differentiates you from, you know, other competitors that are working on being the home for team collaboration?
I always look at the technology as a short-term moat or building longer term moats. I don't view technology as something that will protect us forever, not even patents, by the way. So in our product roadmap, there are many things that will make the rooms the centers for collaboration, not only in meetings, but also between meetings, and will make it really the hub for a lot of the work that we do synchronously and asynchronously. So I think that any entrepreneur that relies long-term just on the technology as a moat is naive.
I mean, it's very early days, but you talk about how that's short-term. What do you think long-term will differentiate Switchboard from those competitors?
So I think in general, if you think about the platforms that you are loyal to, those are platforms that you invest in, that you add content to. And I think that this is the direction that you will see Switchboard going as well. And we're already very fortunate to be a very viral application. So the first thing users do is in finding other users. And more than functionality that we have and more content that we enable you to add to the room, the more sticky it will be with users. So that's the plan.
So thank you for reminding me. That's something I wanted to talk a little bit about is whenever you build a product that's fundamentally multiplayer, collaborative, it creates an aspect of virality because anyone who uses it and likes it will go invite their people who they collaborate with. So you automatically have users kind of doing that product-led growth thing that you see with Zoom or Calendly or any other kind of inherently collaborative tool. Did you think a lot about that in kind of maximizing that virality in building the product? Or is that something that you knew was going to be a given, given it's a collaborative tool?
So I always think about it. When I think about an idea for a company, I always think about customer acquisition is one of the problems that the idea needs to solve. People often focus on finding a solution for a problem, which is really important. It's a starting point, but it still doesn't make an idea a great idea. To be a great idea, the idea also needs to solve the customer acquisition. And the other thing that we discussed, which is the long-term sustainability or moat or, you know, defensibility. And what I love about this is that's very much like Slack or Zoom and other PLG, product-led growth company, the product itself solves the customer acquisition. Most of our customers right now are not the initial customers that actually signed up for it, but people that were invited to the platform. So we are excited about this. I don't think I would have started a company that requires like a sales team and an effort like this to get customers and grow.
Yeah, I mean, it is hugely helpful when you have that natural organic growth. I'm curious kind of what the next steps are for Switchboard. So you just brought on $14 million in venture dollars. What's kind of the next step?
Our mission is to make teamwork the best part of work and develop the tools for people to do teamwork. If you think about it in that context, we're so far from actually achieving that completely. So I really view the company as in the very early phases towards its mission. And if you think about the product roadmap, where, for example, we have a product roadmap for 10 years. Like, we know exactly where we need to be. We have vision for products you've not seen before that facilitate collaboration in new ways. And we are excited about this. And the money that we raised and the money that we will raise will go mostly for product development.
Can you give us a hint at what the roadmap looks like for Switchboard?
It's really divided, sure. So one, there is always a stream of requests that are coming from customers. So one of the top requests that we see right now is the ability to record. So don't be surprised if you see it from us. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that we have a list of ideas that we check with customers. And because most of the comments we get from customers are features that they've seen in other platforms and want to add the Switchboard as well. But it's rarely that you get from customers things that they've never seen before at all. And those usually come from us and we're tested with customers. So our roadmap is a mix of those two categories.
Yeah, it's the Steve Jobs quote, you know, customers don't know what they want.
Exactly.
They'll just ask you for a faster horse. That's super interesting. I don't actually know a lot about your background, but you raised from some fantastic investors, including Dylan Fields, the founder of Figma, and Sequoia, as I mentioned. How did you come out of stealth and manage to raise a Series A from those stellar investors?
Pretty experienced entrepreneur. I started my first company in 97, and since then I've started six companies. One of them went public, three of them were acquired. I think it helps, honestly, although every company I start is in a different area, starting from zero, because I think that the best ideas actually come from a fresh perspective on an existing space. So when you add this to the, if you think about it, this is not just a random the random selection of famous people that invest in the company. Those people that are deeply familiar with collaboration and the future of work. So Figma is doing it in design. They basically build a collaboration platform that's transformed the way designers work together. Remotely, if you think about Joe Thomas from Loom, they really transformed the asynchronous work and allowed us to continue and contribute with video and the conversation ongoing between meetings. And this is fantastic, obviously, we're users too. It is actually very simple. If you are trying to address the very large pain point with a completely innovative solution that there's some significant technology behind it, raising money, it becomes like the easiest part of building this company.
I know how frustrating it can be to find and hire the right people. That's why I'm a fan of what Marketer Hire is doing to solve the problem of finding talent. Marketer Hire has created a fast track process that matches you with top tier professionals ready to work as much or as little as you need. They'll match you with elite freelance marketers uniquely qualified in their field. Sign up today and get matched with a no risk trial at marketerhire.com. When you were first starting out on this company or maybe on others, how do you identify a problem? With Switchboard, it seems like that may be semi-obvious given the pandemic and what you're building, but you came at it in a pretty fundamentally new way. And when you're looking at a problem space, given you started so many in different areas, how do you first think about addressing that or even finding your way through that maze?
So Switchboard started with a personal frustration. Like I said, okay, video conferencing doesn't work, but doing things together, let's create an alternative. So that's one approach of starting a company, starting with your own pain point. Again, and yet, don't forget that you also need to address the other two areas that we discussed before, like customer acquisition, long-term defensibility. Sometimes the process is different. Like for example, in shopping.com, we really pioneers in e-commerce and comparison shopping, and we learned a lot about marketplaces and transactions and so on. And in Adaptive, the following company, I actually brought all of this knowledge to a completely different world, the world of advertising. Advertising used to be transacted in a very manual, relationship-based way. And we basically wrote e-commerce into the world of advertising. We didn't have a name back then. Today it's called programmatic advertising. And this is how most digital advertising is being transacted today. So sometimes just taking your knowledge and applying it to a different field is a great way to find an idea.
You talked about how there are some good pricing models for product-led growth companies. Can you expand on that a little bit?
So with product-led, you really want product to do the heavy lift of selling and acquiring new customers. And you have a product that is already viral, and is already introducing the capabilities to new set of customers. What you want is basically to have a frictionless journey that will hopefully convert them over time. It doesn't have to be immediate to being paid customers. So for this journey to be successful, you've got to enable experimentation. You've got to enable, especially with tools like this, there's so much, you know, of trust that is needed in a collaboration platform. It needs to work well, and people will not share it with others before they verify themselves that it works well. So trying to accelerate it or push it with salespeople is not a very good way of doing it. The better way of doing it is just enable experimentation, supporting those people. And over time, they expand the use. Like, for example, we've seen people starting with just design reviews and then add their teammate things to it, their one-on-ones, and so on. And the more you enable this to happen naturally, they will hit the level of usage where it makes sense to start paying for the product. So that's the plan. We've still it working in many other products, and we don't see a reason why it will not work for us as well.
How do you measure love from your customers? And how do you build products that like induce that?
Yeah, so the most important aspect of love is retention, like how frequently they use. And our aspiration is to build a tool that most people use most of the days. So just measuring the retention of the product is one aspect of measuring love.
Do you have a framework for how to decide what features to put into the product and trade-offs, both on the engineering team and on what the product should have and what it shouldn't have when you're dealing with these conflicting kind of interests?
Yeah, it's really difficult because interviewing customers, you need to do it really well in order to get the right answers. People are really nice and will just say exactly what you want in here. So if you come up with a new feature, 9 out of 10 will say, yeah, it's exciting, it's interesting. And it's just very difficult to differentiate between truly positive feedback and just trying to protect the ego. And over time, we develop more and more ways to do it, even presenting it as a competitive product that we're researching and what do you think about this, or just focusing on your day and your collaboration and not on the features that we're actually developing. Not even saying that the moment you're saying that you're committed to this product, that you're behind this product, you're going to get the wrong answers from people. So a lot of it is just researching it in ways that will keep the results very authentic and real. And the other thing is that at the end of the day, much of it needs to be a gut feeling. Like you need to have a way, you need to have a point of view on the future and then execute sometimes even without clear evidence that this is going to transform. We've done it very clearly with cloud browsers. Like we believe that cloud browsers are essential for the future of collaboration. And this is exactly why we develop those. And what you see right now is just a starting point. There's just so much that we're going to do on top of it.
Can you expand on what a cloud browser is? There seems to be some like fledgling innovation in this space. Like there are all these new browser companies that aim to, I guess, compete with Chrome, but I haven't talked to them and I just don't understand what they do from the outside looking in. Chrome seems to work pretty well.
So to put it simply, a cloud browser is simply a browser that runs in the cloud. And it's being used for different purposes. Sometimes it's used for security, actually, to put some distance between the browser code and your personal machine code. We build it specifically for multi-user use cases. And basically, browsers were built for single players, just for our desktops, and we made all of the changes and adaptations that are required to actually make them multiplayer tools. There are many advantages to this approach. One of them is just access to resources. Some tools need really strong machines. Some tools can benefit from extremely high bandwidth. And when you run those browsers in the cloud, you have access to all of it.
So fundamentally, this is a move from on-prem software to cloud-based software, which everything else has done, but it sounds like browsers are still executed mostly on the device, even a browser like Google Chrome, for instance.
If you think about it with historical context, how many of the applications actually moved to the cloud? Figma built an entire business on the move of design tools to the cloud, and there are many advantages to it. The browser is almost the last piece of native software that you have right now, and that is moving to the cloud as well.
I was going to ask, is there a reason Google hasn't made Google Chrome a cloud browser? But it reminded me that Google, for almost all of their products, has nearly 1 billion users, which can slow things down considerably.
It's something that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about what competitors do or will do. We see a gap between the present and the future. I just have like an eternal urge to close it. And if someone else will think the same way, I think it will just advance the industry and will be more validation to our path.
I mean, having that backend for your platform allows you to run all of these different software tools in the cloud, I imagine, in ways that like you just can't do if you were using Chrome. Like, I couldn't build a container in Chrome for all my other applications and not have it, you know, be extremely laggy.
Yeah, especially the main difference is that your legacy Chrome is built as a single player Chrome. It's just for you. And our cloud browsers were built from the ground up to be multiplayer browsers.
There's, I feel like, a cohort of founders that I've talked to, like Phil Libin at who started Evernote before that, and a couple others like Doug Ludlow at Main Street, who have clearly run companies before. And there's just a very clear kind of playbook that it's hard to almost get at because it's kind of your operating system for running a company. And playing with some of the questions to find that out can always be tricky in an interview.
I think that you, what you described is, you know, a group of people that are just addicted to entrepreneurship. And I will confess to be one of them. It's the thing that I enjoy most, building from zero something that does not exist and seeing it then adopted by millions. It brings satisfaction beyond like pretty much anything else.
Yeah. And I mean, as you build that skill set over time, it just, it makes you incredibly capable for attacking new markets like this one.
Yeah, this, although I take it with a grain of salt, every company is different. Every market is different. Part of what I love about this is that I feel it keeps me on the edge. I get to think. I can't just repeat some playbook that works for another company. So I view every company as a new journey that requires new thinking and new solutions.
So the last section of the show is new. It's a lightning round. I found that it's often not all that lightning, but a couple of fun kind of quick questions for you. The first one is, what's top of mind for you right now? And what are the three things that have to go right over the next 6 months for Switchboard to really take off?
We are customer obsessed. So now that we've substantially scaled the number of users, this flow of input that is coming is fascinating. And what people see in the product and the new use cases that they found. So I think that I'm going to spend the next 3 months just reading every comment and every feedback that we receive for customers and think about how do we need to adapt the product to make it better.
How are you attracting A players to the team?
You know, we're a startup, 100% remote. We are focused on teamwork. We want to make teamwork the best part of work. And I think people really connect to this journey. In general, people join startups for a journey. It's not for the compensation. They join for purpose. And the team that we have is an amazing team. They could work in any company, but I think that what attracts them to Switchboard is part of building an innovative solution and a pain point that is felt by millions.
If you were starting from scratch today, what would you do differently?
Oh, it's really funny. You know, it took us about 6 months to realize that this is not a solution just for guitar lessons. yeah, you'll be surprised. We had a metronome app built and we worked so hard to make it in sync and so on. But then more and more people looked at this and said, wait a second, I need it for my product prioritization meeting. I need exactly that. So if we could realize that in 6 days and not 6 months, that would have been great.
Yeah, I mean, a metronome for live guitar is pretty hard, I imagine, like in the cloud across two different people, like Zoom lags, everyone knows that. So to have that not be a thing, and that, I guess, also gets back to your roots of building like kind of hardcore cloud infrastructure that all of this is built on top of.
Bowie.
Yeah, timing, critical. Beyond Switchboard, what is one innovative company or startup that you think everyone will be paying attention to in 18 months?
So I think people already pay attention to this company, but I really like it. So I'll mention Noom. I think it's fantastic. Asynchronous is really important, reduces the number of meetings. And Joe is a fantastic guy. So it's easy to give them credit here.
And then last question for you. Where would you like to see Switchboard in 10 years if things went well?
Switchboard will do to video calls what Slack did to email. You can use video calls, but they're much slower, less natural, and less productive. So I think we had to use that in the pandemic. I think it saved the economy while that pandemic was going on, but that the future is different and we need purposely built tools for remote work.
Yeah, Amir, this has been a fascinating conversation, from like the remote work and multiplayer trends to product-led growth and some of the kind of tactics to the cloud infrastructure that you're building. It's been really fascinating to talk to you, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really enjoyed it.